Bishop Ted Gulick was our preacher on Sunday. He preached on the gospel, which did not record well, so I will read it now. It is taken from Matthew 13. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and they had no root. They withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I need to begin by saying that I'm very grateful to Bishop Sutton for allowing me to be in his diocese. Bishops don't get to do anything in another diocese without the bishop's permission. So I am grateful to him for allowing me the joy of being with you after so many years. A biblical scholar has said that a parable is a metaphor or simile drawn from common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in significant doubt of its precise application. And then this is the sentence that I loved. This is to tease the mind into active thought. When I was preparing to preach this week, I prayed to the Holy Spirit that the Spirit would tease my mind into active thought, as I have lived all week with the parable of the sower. So, I thought to myself in this act of active thinking, how would Jesus tell the parable of costly generosity today? And as I allowed myself to be teased by the parable, I thought about my dear friends, Sean and Annie. Sean was my personal trainer. It was the only way I spent money on myself. And Annie, his wife. They wanted, they yearned, they prayed for a harvest, a good result of something sown. They wanted a baby. 7 in vitro attempts, all for nothing. The seeds were sown, the hope abounded, and nothing. Thorns and thistles choked the hope that they had. Thorns and thistles choked the hope of the prospective grandparents. Thorns and thistles choked my hope as month after month and actually year after year, I prayed for them. 2 months ago, I was back in Louisville briefly,
I had dinner with Sean and with Annie and with Braxton. The eighth time worked. Seeing that cute little harvest of what was sown gave joy 100-fold. Back to Jesus' parable. The sower is so generous, so crazy generous, so prodigal, so hope-infused with something that in that world is so precious. Seed in arid Palestine, seed is today's bread. Precious in an arid world. Given away out of a consuming hope. Hope for an abundance beyond imagining. Jesus knew that the foundational reality of the universe is costly yet lavishly generous love. The love that binds the three persons of the Trinity scattered itself towards this world in the incarnation of Jesus. The generous love of the Trinity broke open to include our longings, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our thorns, our thistles, to include all of this into God's divine life, into God's divine hope. The lavish love of God scattered towards the world ends up choking on the cross, wearing thorns on the brow. Jesus is costly seed of God's hope. Jesus is God's generous word wasted on the world, wasted for us, buried, sprouted by the resurrection. Lavish generosity rises as the defining reality of this universe. Jesus, as St. Paul says, is the first fruit of the harvest. In a little while, I'm going to confirm four persons. They are the harvest. They are the harvest as they say yes to divine generosity, whose name we know as Jesus. I loved watching the way my good friend delighted in his son. I loved watching him delight in the very product of his longing. Do you know, each and every one of you sitting in this church today, do you know that your presence at this Eucharist proves that you are God's harvest? Your presence, your open hands, your yes is fulfilling God's lavish, generous, precious hope. We are the fulfilling of God's hope. Some of us are big bushels, 100-fold. Some of us are 16. Some of us are 30. But we are all the occasion of God's rejoicing. You, as a congregation of Christians, you are the product of God's generous, lavish sowing of the seed buried and risen. Your joyful task is to match in your life, to reflect, to represent to this world, to expand God's generosity with the depth of your lives, loving God, serving the world, forgiving each other, dreaming God's dream for this parish and for this world. And in doing all of that, knowing that you are the harvest in which God delights. Amen.